2 Timothy chapter 3. As I was looking over this passage of Scripture again throughout this last week, especially this morning, I'm convinced that 2 Timothy chapter 3 is probably the most solemn and difficult passage of Scripture which the Apostle Paul ever was inspired to write. Because if you know anything about the Apostle Paul, he was first and foremost an apostle, but he was also a pastor. And the perils of which he's going to be describing here in this chapter, and we're going to read the whole chapter so we can get the content of what he's talking about, but the perils of which he's speaking about here in chapter 3 are not perils outside the church, but within the church. And I'm sure that was very difficult for the Apostle Paul, who throughout his ministry had seen many churches grow. He was used by God to see the gospel richly blessed and many souls come to know Christ, and he helped establish a lot of churches. And now in his closing hours of his life in this world, he has to write this third chapter inspired by the Holy Spirit. He's not discouraged by it, but I'm sure in some way the Apostle Paul was kind of saddened by what he's writing, because these perils are taking place and will take place and are taking place in the church. And so I'm sure this was probably one of the most solemn and difficult passages of Scripture that the Apostle Paul ever had to pin down. But let us begin reading in chapter 3. I'm going to read, for just the sake of understanding the whole context here, I'm going to read the entire chapter. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as James and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine." Now listen to this. "Thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra, which persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that thou from a child, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Now verse 4, chapter 1. "I charge thee therefore," because of all these things he's just said, "before God and the Lord Jesus, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come." Again, he talks about a time. "A time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." And lastly, verse 5, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." Now, did you notice how the Apostle Paul seems to bounce back and forth? First he says, this is going to happen, and all these perilous things are going to happen, but don't you be influenced. This is going to happen, and wicked men are going to wax worse and worse, but all who are live godly shall suffer persecution. It's almost as though Paul is bouncing back and forth. He wants Timothy to realize that these perils of which he's describing are very serious. Unfortunately, we live in a generation to where I don't think these perils are serious to a lot of believers. If you look at their lifestyle and you look at their devotion, you look at their love and affection for Christ, you'd wonder if they understand anything about these perils. They're very serious and very solemn. And Paul goes back and forth with all these things. He tells them all about these things. He even talks about, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's going to happen, Timothy, because all these perilous times and all these evil and wicked men waxing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, but continue thou in things. You see how he just kind of joggles it back and forth. Timothy, these are serious and solemn exhortations. But don't let that move you from your steadfastness. Don't let that move you from being faithful and persevering in the ministry. This is one thing that they don't teach in seminaries, and at least not that I've heard. There's a possibility they do in some, and so I'll correct that statement. But in the ones I've heard of, they don't teach that one of the major portions or parts of the ministry is afflictions. Nobody should ever enter into the ministry not realizing that afflictions and many afflictions come with the ministry. And that's what Paul tells Timothy. That's the basis of why he's saying this. Not just all those that live godly, but he relates it to him. And a matter of fact, in chapter 1, remember he said, be partakers of the afflictions of the gospel? It's part of the ministry. It comes with the ministry. Afflictions. And so Paul just kind of goes through all of these things and he kind of joggles them back and forth. So we see the seriousness of his exhortation. This entire epistle is an exhortation to steadfastness, to perseverance, to faith, to unwavering love and devotion to Christ and the church. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Now, I believe it's fair to say that every generation of believers, since the Apostle Paul first penned down these words, have declared that they were suffering under the perils of the last times from which he writes. I think it's fair to say that. Read church history. Consider the Christians that were being persecuted in the days of Nero or in the catacombs. I'm sure they were saying that this is the last times. Oh, look at all these perils coming upon us. And so every generation, I think it's fair to say, every generation has declared, we're in the last days. And don't we hear that quite often? Haven't we heard that over the last 10, 15, 20 years we've been saved? We are living in the last days and perils are here. So I think it's fair to say every generation of believers have declared or proclaimed they're living in the last days. And in all fairness, beloved, they were and are partially correct. For though these perilous times shall increase as these last days approach, that's the emphasis of what Paul's saying, they shall increase. Such perilous times have been felt in every generation, even in the days of the Apostle Paul, who declared their increase. He's saying these perilous times shall increase as the days go by. That's really the meaning of what he's talking about. He's not saying, well, at a certain time, place or time in history, perils are going to begin in the church. No, he's saying it's going to increase. They shall in the last days. They were even happening in Paul's day. For example, Paul said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. Theophrastus loved to have preeminence in 3 John. Hymenaeus and Alexander have made shipwrecked, he said, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 20. And all men forsook him in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. And there's other examples. So those perils were also evident in the days of Paul. So I think it's fair to say in every generation of believers, they felt the perils of the latter days. No generation of believers have gone by untouched or not subjected to such perilous times, but they shall continue to increase is what Paul's saying in chapter 3, verse 1. They're going to increase, threatening the church's purity and devotion to God and His divine truths. That's what we need to understand tonight when Paul describes these perils. Why are they peril? Why are these perilous times? Because they're a threat to the church's purity and devotion to God and His truth. I think it's time that we, as believers, begin to understand and grasp that. And sure, we can, like all the other generations, say we're living in the last days. But, beloved, it's been almost a couple thousand years since Paul penned down this letter. I would say that we're closer to the last days, if not in the last days, or we're going to be seeing an increase, and we have seen an increase of this already, haven't we? One good thing that came out of yesterday, I'm not going to preach politics, but one good thing is they passed a law in California banning gay marriage. At least one good thing came out of yesterday. That's a miracle for California. But beloved, he's saying it's perilous because it's going to threaten the purity of the church. Therefore, this know also. Not that such perils were new or unknown to Timothy. Timothy knew about these perils. He's not telling him something new, and Timothy's going, "Oh no, I didn't know." Timothy has walked side by side with Paul throughout his entire ministry over 30 some years. Timothy knows something about the perils. He's personally been afflicted with Paul. So this isn't something new to Timothy. But Paul is trying to get him to understand, never, ever keep such perilous times away from thee. Keep them always before your heart and your mind. Never let them slip. Never lose or lose or let down your guard. That's what he's saying. This know also. Keep it ever before you, Timothy. Don't ever let down your guard, Timothy. Remember what we said on Sunday morning? We said, as long as we live as Christians in this life, we'll always be facing afflictions and conflicts because that's the portion of Christianity in this life. It's called a militant church in this world. It's the heavenly church in heaven, the resting church. We're not resting yet. We're militant. And so Paul is saying, Timothy, you know about such perils, but by me saying this, this know also, I want you to ever keep that before your heart and your mind. Never let down your guard, Timothy. Over in Acts chapter 20, Paul says the same thing over here. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Paul speaking to the elders at Ephesus. Listen to this. He said, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers to watch over them, watchmen, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise. Sounds like he's talking about chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. Speaking perverse things amongst yourselves to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. You see the seriousness of the exhortation? Paul didn't just say, well, here's an exhortation, then I'm going to go on to the doctrine of theology proper and on to all these other things. Paul says, I did not cease to warn you night and day with tears that these perils are coming upon the church. Now, we believe in the sovereignty of God, and I thank God for that. There's comfort in believing in the sovereignty of God. I think after yesterday, I think most people that do embrace the doctrines of grace are embracing now the sovereignty of God and everything. And yet, beloved, we can't ignore the fact that maybe, possibly, perhaps, the result of yesterday is the result of the church lacking and not being faithful. So we have to look at all things. We must never let down our guard. Never just simply say, well, you know, God's in control. Let's just let go and let God. That is the most erroneous statement I've ever heard in my life. We don't let go and let God. Paul knew everything about the sovereignty of God, and yet he said, I've been warning you night and day with tears. Beware. Watch, remember, know this. You know, as a watchman or an overseer, one vital part of his duty is to watch diligently for approaching dangers and evils. Do you know that? Ezekiel talks about a watchman. God says, I put watchmen on the towers and they'll see the danger coming and they'll warn my people. And if my people listen and all that, he talks about a watchman or an overseer. One of the major parts of their responsibility is to be diligently watching out for dangers and evils. This is one part of the ministry that many Christians in the congregation don't understand. And therefore, they don't understand the reason why the preacher brings messages that he does. Why? Because God has gifted him and parted him with the gift of an overseer or watchman. And so when he senses and sees danger or evil, he rises up to preach so that he might stir you up to watchfulness and prayer. And most believers in this generation in which we live in take it personal and don't listen to the exhortation. But one of the major parts or portions or responsibilities of a watchman, overseer, is to cry out when danger is near, when evil is approaching. It's not that God's people don't see that themselves, but as an overseer, as a pastor, and that's what he's telling Timothy, as you study the Word of God, remember at the end of the chapter, he talks about all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, doesn't he? And then he closes out, and don't forget, the Bible wasn't always with chapters and verses. Okay? It used to be just a solid letter. After he says that, he says, I therefore charge you, preach the Word, Timothy. Why? Because that's your responsibility. All these perils I told you in chapter 3, men waxing evil, evil men waxing worse and worse, those things are going to happen, Timothy. Your responsibility is to preach the Word and stir up God's people to watchfulness, to diligence and prayer. That's what he said in chapter 4, verse 1 to 5. The charge is serious. The call is solemn. This know also, Timothy. And so I tell Grace Baptist Church, this know also. Never let down your guard. Always be alert. Always watch and pray. Remember what we said Sunday morning? The safest place in this spiritual battle is in the front line or in the heat of the battle. It's not sitting on the sidelines. How many Christians are caught up in this world? They're caught up in everything the world. Don't fear. You shouldn't have the fear the world has. I mean, most people on one party after last night is celebrating everything. And the other party is living in despair. And people's wondering what's going to happen now. And we're all going to... Don't follow in the steps of their fear. You shouldn't be having that kind of fear. So everybody's hustling about here and there. What can I do to make my life more pleasant and prosperous? And we shouldn't have their fear. Paul has told Timothy some very shaking things, hasn't he? He said, all those that live godly shall suffer persecution, but evil men shall wax worse and worse. Paul, you just keep loading it on Timothy. Beloved, a true child of God, because the Spirit of God is within him and because he's devoted to the cause of Christ, those things don't drag him down to despair, but they cause him to arouse his heart and his mind to watchfulness and prayer. Paul knew Timothy could take that, as timid as he was. But beloved, I fear that we do live in a generation of believers today, and I think that you'll agree with me, they can't take that kind of exhortation because that's too much for me. I'm not ready to go that far. I'm not ready to be that diligent. I'm not wanting to persevere that much. I don't want to suffer. I'm trying to do all I can to avoid suffering. I just want to live my Christian life in ease. And we was talking about that in the fellowship Sunday, remember? Men, we was talking about some good points coming up. I really learned a lot from the men talking about all these things. I love when we get together and talk about the world events and what's going on in light of Scripture. It's beneficial to God's church. But one of the men said something was very correct, that we live in a generation of Americans that want everything handed to them. So that's why they choose that person that's going to hand it to them. Beloved, and I thought to myself when he said that, that typifies the church. Many Christians want all the blessings of heaven, but not with the cross. Give me the crown, but not the cross. Give me all the glories of heaven, but don't give me the sufferings. Give me everything that God promises His people, but don't ask me to deny myself, to take up my cross. And don't ask me those things. And I said, that just perfectly illustrates the church. Give me all the blessings of heaven on a silver platter, but don't ask me or expect me. Paul knew Timothy was diligent, though timid, in serving God. The charge is serious. The work of the ministry must continue. In spite of such strong opposition and perilous times, Timothy, you have to continue. That's part of the ministry. I'm not going to withhold these things from you. I'm going to tell you the truth. You know, if I was going into battle, you know, when I was in the Army, we had I think I mentioned this before, but when I was in the Army, we had a lieutenant that he acted just like Charlie Brown, looked like Charlie Brown. I'm telling you, I'm not just saying that, he did. He looked like Charlie Brown. This guy was so intelligent. He read every book. In fact, I remember that the captain of the education or the school there in Germany, after one of our meetings and stuff, the lieutenant had asked him if he had any more courses he could take. And the guy looked at him and said, "Sir, you've taken every course we've got. We don't have any more." He just loved to read. But I'm telling you, he lacked common sense. I wouldn't follow that guy across the street, let alone into wartime. I mean, he was that ignorant. But he was a lieutenant. He didn't have any idea what he was doing. But if you gave me a leader or a lieutenant that had the boldness to make right decisions on the spot, important decisions, that was able and willing to, then I'd follow him anywhere, but I wouldn't follow him that way. And that's exactly what Paul, or how Paul's treating Timothy. Timothy, you're in the ministry. You have to realize the ministry's not for little kids. It's not a child's play. You have to be tough. You have to be courageous. You have to be persevering. You have to be faithful. You have to stay close to God. Never trust in yourself. Never trust in your abilities. But never give up. That's the kind of preacher I'd want to have, especially in these day and age. I'd want to follow somebody who's willing to go the entire distance, regardless of the cost. We need men and families like that too, who are willing to show their kids by way of example. You can't live a Christian life in this generation half-hearted as a Christian. Amen? We need to show our children church is worth it, Bible reading is worth it, prayer is worth it. If we don't, beloved, we're going to raise up a generation of Christians that are going to be slothful, negligent, and they don't care if they're going to read their Bibles, pray, or go to church. Why not? That was the example they followed. We need to show them in this generation, especially in our children, if the Lord doesn't return, you need to understand what perseverance is. You need to understand what it is to give everything to God, to devote yourself totally to God. And we must be the example for them. That's what Paul's trying to get Timothy to do. Preach the word. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. They're going to turn their ears away from the truth, but you watch yourself. You endure afflictions. Timothy, you preach the word. Let me close with these thoughts. Beloved, we must never be discouraged when the true followers of Christ and the contenders for the faith are few in number. We must never be discouraged. They were few in number when Paul was writing this epistle. And Paul said, Timothy, that shouldn't sway you one way or another from following God. Nor allow ourselves to be hindered or influenced or disheartened by such perilous times. But Timothy and every true believer, Paul writes, but faithfully keep that which is committed to our trust, and ever seek God's grace and mercy to faithfully contend for the faith in a spirit worthy of our calling. That's what he's emphasizing and impressing upon Timothy. And that's why throughout that entire chapter, all the way into chapter 4, he kind of juggles these things back and forth. It's amazing how he does that. Godly shall suffer persecution, but evil men shall wax worse and worse, deceiving, being deceived. But watch thou in all things. Back and forth he juggles. Timothy, these things are happening, but you persevere. You continue. God will give you the grace. God will give you the mercy. God will give you the power. But Timothy, don't you let these things influence you. Don't you let these things take you off your guard. Be watchful. Be prayerful. Continue thou in these things. Preach the word, Timothy. I like what an old Puritan said about these perils. And if you take a minute to think about it, It really makes sense. He says, and I quote, "The measure of perils felt, the measure of perils felt will be determined by the amount of love God's church possesses for the truth." I had to read that over a few times. I'm going, The measure of perils felt will be determined by the amount of love God's church possesses for the truth. If we love the truth of God, if we're devoted to the truth of God, we're going to feel the perils pressuring on us all the time to relinquish, to hinder, to destroy our faith and devotion to God and His truth. And beloved, we live in a generation just like that. And we got these people coming in saying, "Oh, don't take Christianity so serious. Don't be so conservative." This is exactly what the world wanted. The world wanted one of the most liberal men there ever was. I said I wasn't going to get politics, but I did. Beloved, I'm telling you, you can look at the situation in the world now and it reflects the church in general. But praise God, God's always had a remnant. Amen. Let's be careful. Know this, Grace Baptist Church. Never let down your guard. Watch and pray. That's not a negative message. That's an encouraging, inspiring, stirring up message for those who love God's truth. Amen. May God give us the grace to embrace that. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You now, Lord, for Thy Word. We thank You for the blessings, Lord, of Lord, what You've given us here through 2 Timothy. May You continue to guide and direct us as we glean through this most blessed epistle. Father, I pray that we would know these things also. Help us, Lord, as we continue to hear these exhortations. Stir up our hearts, I pray, Father, that, Lord, we'd find out more what it means to be strong in You and in Your might. Father, be with us now as we enter into a time of prayer. May You bless our prayer meeting. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.